Good morning. It's Thursday, January 17th. It's 11 minutes before the hour of 8 a.m., and you're listening to KCAW in Sitka. I'm Chris Todd with Raven News. The Alaska Board of Game wrapped up its Southeast meeting in Sitka on Tuesday evening, and one of the proposals to get the board's green light has to do with brown bears. The seven-member board approved changes to the way dead bears are counted in Unit 4, which is the area near Sitka, including Admiralty, Baranof, and Chichikov Islands. Previously, bears that were wounded and then escaped were automatically counted as a dead female bear. But the Alaska Professional Hunters Association, whose members include bear hunting guides, argued that in many cases that's just not true. They said escaped bears often survive and are often not female. The group said counting wounded bears as dead females unfairly raises the figure on human-caused bear mortality and limits hunting opportunities. The board agreed. And July 1st, wounded bears will no longer automatically count as dead female bears. The vote was 6-1, with member Teresa Sager-Aba from Tok voting no. The change doesn't come without a condition. Board of Game officials intend to write a letter to the U.S. Forest Service, which grants permits to bear guides. The board will ask the federal agency to work with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game for better enforcement of bear regulations. Before it adjourned, Alaska's Board of Game voted to close elk hunting on Zarembo Island near Wrangell to let the transplanted herd there rebound. The state introduced elk to Edelin Island, west of Wrangell, in 1987, and the transplanted animals spread to nearby Zarembo Island. Hunting seasons on both islands were opened a decade later. However, on Zarembo, elk hunting has not opened since 2008 because of a low population estimate. Alaska Department of Fish and Game Area Wildlife Biologist Rich Lowell explained that year the department started radio collaring some of the animals to find out more about elk numbers and behaviors.
And research as a result of that effort initiated in 2008 indicated that the elk population on Zarembo was low. Therefore, we have not issued any drawing or registration permits for the island since 2008, and it is unlikely to reopen for a number of years.
In 2008, the department estimated 35 elk remained on Zarembo. Lowell told the board that much of the island is covered by logging roads, making for easier access for hunters. And he said the department suspects there have been people poaching elk there, despite the closed season. Board member Bob Munford of Anchorage agreed it would be best to take the hunting season out of the regulation book.
I don't think I'll have any problem voting to go ahead and just close this hunt. Looks like you haven't had a hunt there since 08, am I right on that? Doesn't look like you're going to have a hunt there for quite some time. Zarembo looks to be a vulnerable area for these elk. If you were to have some possibility that a person could say they could hunt there and you don't want them to, it does open it up to poaching with them being quite vulnerable.
The board voted down an amendment that would have left the Zarembo hunt in state regulation with the expectation no permits would be issued until numbers rebound. Board members then supported the original proposal unanimously. The decision closes drawing permit and registration hunts for Zarembo and would also not allow a general season hunt on that island and on three smaller neighboring islands. Drawing permit and registration hunts on Edelin Island will continue, as will a general season aimed at preventing the herds from spreading to other southeast islands. Business and government must work together in order for the economy to continue growing. That's the message Tacoma Pierce County Chamber CEO Tom Pearson delivered on Wednesday to the Greater Sitka Chamber of Commerce.
So one of the things I'm passionate about is business, and especially in this economy, it's about growing jobs and not only just attracting people to do business within your town, within your region, but also making sure that we're retaining those businesses that are here.
He says Alaska residents directly benefit from Tacoma business. Pearson says 70% of all freight traffic comes to Alaska through Tacoma's port, and the value coming through the port equals about $3 billion. That makes Alaska the fourth largest trade partner for the Port of Tacoma. And Pearson says predictability is important, too. For example, businesses can benefit from knowing how federal environmental regulations will affect the cruise industry.
Making sure that people know what are the steps and what's the vision of where we're going. And that's important to business. Important to business to know what's the EPA mean to the cruise lines. How many cruise lines are coming next year? In the next 3, 4, or 5 years, it's going to matter to what your business does.
Cruise lines are concerned about stricter fuel regulations imposed by the Environmental Protection Agency. And Pearson says the more local business owners are aware of larger issues, the better positioned they are for long-term success. Juneau's Ruben Yost is the new chief of the state ferry system, but he'll spend only about half his time on that job. Transportation Commissioner Pat Kemp named the longtime department employee to the deputy commissioner post on Tuesday. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld has details.
Yost will be in charge of the marine highway system, but he'll also oversee measurement standards, commercial vehicle enforcement, and a variety of special projects.
Commissioner Kemp envisions having three deputies that have areas of responsibility but aren't limited to just one area.
Yost says the structural changes will shift some responsibilities to Marine Highway General Manager John Falvey, who's been in that position about 8 years. One big job for both is to oversee design of the Alaska-class ferry. Governor Sean Parnell last month announced two smaller shuttle ships will be built with existing funds. Earlier plans called for one larger ship. Yost says he will also work to fund and design other new ships for Southwest and Southeast service.
The Tustamina is in need of replacement, and so are some of the original mainliners. And that's an aspect that people really haven't focused on with the Alaska-class ferry.
Yost replaces Mike Neusel, who was in charge of just the ferry system for about 2 years. Several predecessors also had that single focus. Yost has been overseeing a number of transportation efforts, including the Juneau Access Project. That would build a road north out of Juneau to a shuttle ferry terminal across Lynn Canal from Haines. Yost began his 18-year state career as an environmental analyst and manager. More recently, he's been Southeast Regional Director of Construction, Maintenance, and Operations.
I've kind of been involved in all areas of the Department of Transportation in terms of types of projects and different modes, you know, rural airport projects, highway projects, and some marine projects.
Yost will be the sixth person in about a decade to head up the marine highway system. He says he's in his early 60s and thinking about retirement, but not anytime soon. Before moving to Juneau, he commercial fished out of Pelican, where he served as mayor. He says he learned the value of the ferry system while living in the remote Chichagof Island town. He's also worked as a teacher. His degrees are in industrial education and zoology. This is Ed Schoenfeld reporting from Wrangell.
A new dockside safety exam requirement for many commercial fishing boats has been postponed for a couple of years. The once voluntary safety checks were slated to become mandatory last October for vessels that operate more than 3 miles from land. However, Congress pushed that deadline back with passage of the Coast Guard's latest funding bill. Ken Lawrenson is the Coast Guard's Fishing Vessel Safety Coordinator in Alaska.
The Authorization Act for the Coast Guard for 2010 mandated mandatory dockside exams for certain commercial fishing vessels, the ones that were fishing more than 3 nautical miles from the territorial sea baseline. And that was going to take effect on the 16th of October, 2012. Here at the last minute before the Christmas break, both houses of the Congress passed and the President signed the Coast Guard and Marine Transportation Act of 2012, which part of the effect of that was to delay the implementation of those mandatory exams into October of 2015.
Lawrenson estimates more than half of Alaska vessels that fish more than 3 miles offshore have already participated in the voluntary exams and received safety decals over the years.
Mainly because they recognize that it's a good idea because of the unforgiving, harsh nature of the marine environment up here, as well as those vessels. A lot of those vessels already have to comply with observer requirements, and so their insurance underwriters, there's another reason for them to go ahead and have that decal. They have already been doing that for the last 10 years, 15 years in some cases.
According to Lawrenson, participation in the voluntary program has been less frequent among vessels that operate within 3 miles of shore in Alaska. He says only about 15 to 20% of boats in the category have received the decal. Still, he encourages fishermen to get the decal, whether or not it's required.
It's always a good thing, I think, to put an extra set of eyeballs looking at the safety and training of the crew. That's certainly an important component of survival out here. It's a dangerous business. We all kind of accept that. But that doesn't mean that there's not an obligation, I think, to do what should be done. And certainly having the Coast Guard on board and establish that relationship is, I think, part of the expectation for most reasonable folks.
Regardless of the delay in the new requirements, Lawrenson notes that the exams remain mandatory for some vessels, including Bering Sea crabbers and any boats that have to carry federal fishery observers. A judge could order GPS tracking of people with protective orders against them under a bill proposed by Alaska's governor. The provision is included in an omnibus crime bill submitted by the legislature, or to the legislature, rather, by Governor Sean Parnell on Wednesday. Parnell has listed cracking down on domestic violence and sexual assault among the priorities of his administration. In a news release, he says penalties for hurting Alaskans are only going to get tougher. That's it for Raven News for this hour. It's just about 1 minute after the hour of 8 o'clock. You're listening to KCAW in Sitka. 43 degrees under light rain, fog, and mist this morning. Good morning.